نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. الصحابة الكرام, they out on an expedition, and one Sahabi had a head injury, and a serious head injury. It was a cold winter's morning, icy cold. He's got suffering a head injury. By the morning he realizes that he requires a Fajr bath. Now he can't avoid performing the Fajr namaz, but how must he get to do his Fajr namaz when he requires a Fajr bath? And how can he manage when the water is ice cold and he's got an open head injury? So he inquired from the people that were around that I got an open head injury. It's an icy cold morning. There's no way to heat the water. And am I exempt now that I'm in this condition? Am I exempt from performing the first bath? So the reply was, you can't be exempt. You have to have the first bath and then do your Fajr namaz. So he had the bath, and then he passed away. The Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu anhum, the beauty in their life was that any small or big event, they presented it before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that they get right direction. Obviously now, when they are on a journey, they can't speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. They're hundreds of kilometers away from Medina Munawara. How are they going to contact him? So someone used his discretion and told him, no, you'll have to have a bath. So he did end up having the bath, but he passed away. But the beauty of the Sahaba Ikram was, whether it's something to their credit or against them, they would give an exact report to Rasulullah ﷺ that this would happen. So Rasulullah ﷺ was disappointed very much. And he said, قَاتَلْتُمُهُ قَاتَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ الْإِسْلَامُ. You have destroyed the person, may you be destroyed. So then he went on to explain, إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْإِيِّ السُّؤَالِ. The person that doesn't know, he must inquire. He can't do things randomly, whatever comes to his mind. Then he must inquire. So his obligation ends up at the point where he made the inquiry, he found out. But you people are guilty, you all didn't know the ruling and the direction in this circumstance, and you gave him a wrong directive, ending up with the person's death. So both are required. One is to find out, and one is to be competent enough to give the right answer at the right time. So to be performing at any level, then the Quranic prescription is إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينُ. In any business, in any enterprise, in any operation, then two things are required. One is competence. He's competent enough to accomplish, to execute. And the second requirement is he must be honest as well. Just being competent and not being honest is insufficient. And similarly, he's very honest, but he's not competent. That is also not right. So he must be competent and he must be honest as well. And then, now it's a full package, it's right, it's a direction. And inshallah, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, it will go right. So no matter which branch of life you have branched onto, or whatever is your profession, whatever the profession may be, but you've got these two components, that you are competent and you are honest, then there's a direction you are moving. And if it's not there, then one of the two things are not there, then the person is misleading you. Whether he's an educated person or an uneducated person, professional or unprofessional, but one of these two components are not there, then is going against the prescription of the Quran Sharif, so definitely it will be wrong. Like, say a simple example that you come across all the time, or you go to hospital, and the doctor knows it's a simple procedure, I can just cover it up in a short time. 5 minute procedure, I can cover it up. But now he has to work with a cartel. When he has to work with a cartel, then he has to be good to them. So he'll pass on the patient to 10 people, go to this specialist, go to this, go to an SRA or whatever, right? And eventually, he will do what he needs to be done. But now he has to pass the patient over 10 people before he can administer the medication or the operation. Why he has to do that? Because they see him right and he's seeing them right. But I ask you, is that being honest to the profession? Or is dishonesty to the profession and to the patient? So therefore the Quran Sharif prescription is the best. Competence with honesty. A doctor is just an example. It doesn't mean that the doctor, every doctor is dishonest. No, it's just an example. It can be a businessman, it can be an ordinary laborer, it can be whoever, but these two components are found, then there's a direction, so there's no such a thing like what is going on nowadays, that the person says that, you know, you must think out of the box. So using this type of phrases may sound nice. And what we are more interested in this day is the phrase must sound nice. Whether it is nice and correct or not, that's irrespective, it's immaterial, but it must sound nice. If it sounds nice, then it's nice to emulate it. But now, is that nice, is it right or not right? That is the more important thing, is it right? So you say now, think out of the box. The problem with the Ummah was that they kept within the box, and therefore they had no progress. But I say in every field of life, every sphere of life, for you to have a direction and safety, you have to remain within the box. It's a motorist that's driving. For him to reach safely, he must keep himself within the box. Box means keep within the parameter. Where it was required of him to drive on the right side, so he drives on the right side, he must go out of the box, and do his own thing, goes on the left side, and driving at 150, and the motor car that is coming from the front is also driving at that speed. What's going to happen? It's going to be a disaster, it's going to be a ruin, it's going to be a death situation. Because he didn't keep himself within the box. Box means parameter. So keep yourself within the parameter, don't jump out of the parameter. So this rule applies to every situation. It's a child that is going to a school or a madrasa or whatever. He must keep himself within the parameter, keep himself within the box for him to reach. So if the school or the madrasa requires of him, he must be there in class at 7 o'clock and leave at 2 o'clock, right? Then he must keep within the box for him to go ahead. If the child says, no, I come at my own time, I'll be out of the box, do my own thing and do my own research, then he can't reach the destination. He may do his own thing, but he may not reach the destination. So to understand the principle that we keep ourselves within the box. And then there are those people who will show us the parameter and those people that will emulate. There are two classes. Fas'alu ahla dhikr in kuntum la ta'alamun, as the Quran Sharif says. There will be two classes of people. One will show the parameter and one will follow after that. So the ummah in all spheres of life, it must have these two levels. One is the follower and one is the leader. Right? You must have a doctor and you must have a patient. All can't be doctors and all can't be patients as well. There must be one that's giving a direction and one that is referring. So in all spheres of life, you need someone to give a direction and the one that will follow thereafter. So this is a requirement in deen. It's a requirement in dunya. We all understand it very well. But now to make a sweeping statement, no, just go out of the box. The ummah has remained behind because of them remaining within the box. Now that's a statement that is totally dangerous, extremely dangerous. So that class of people who made up the parameter, who showed, not made up, showed the parameter. Right? Because of the competence, the expertise, the experience, and the vastness of the knowledge, right? Like you find the great Imam, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. The great expertise they had, competence they had, they showed this is now the parameter and remain within the box. Don't jump off the box. So the Ummah had been following them, and for the last 14 centuries they found guidance, alhamdulillah. Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi is born around the 80th year of the Hijrah, passed away at 150. So there's approximately 1300 years. But the Ummah that followed any of the Imams, they found a direction from the beginning and right till the end. Not to say that the Ummah was brainwashed. They didn't think for themselves, right? Now, really, it's like we are discrediting these Imams, that they didn't know their works. Or we are trying to claim that we are also at the level of the Imam, that if they thought, they showed the parameters, we can also show, we can all, what's the difference? We are men. Yes, in order to be competent at that, in that level, then you need to have this type of credentials. If a person comes to your business, then you want to see his credentials, how good he is, how thorough he is. Then you employ him, right? Professional person, then you want to see now, what is his track record, what's the success rate, and then you engage a cardiologist. You don't just take him on like that. You want to see the track record, how good he was, how efficient he was, what was the success rate, and then you take the person on. So now, to be at that level, where you show parameters, you show what the box is, etc., then the requirement is, one of the requirements is, that you must know at least about 300,000 hadith. 300,000 hadith, the text and the chain of reporters. You must know it off by heart. 300,000 hadith, the text, and the chain of reporters with their credentials. Credentials means each reporter of the hadith, you must know his birth, you must know his death, right? You must know about the state of his memory from the beginning right till the end. It mustn't happen that towards the end he suffered dementia or Alzheimer's, etc., and there was a loss of memory. So there must be a consistent pattern in that. Right. Then you must also see the level of his honest reporting, how honest and how professional was he in his reporting. And then number four is the requirement is also, did he have a level of taqwa and righteousness? Did he restrain from temptations, etc.? Now if he's got all these credentials are right, then he is in a capacity of being an imam. Obviously now, everybody can't be. You can't get a person, perhaps at this day, which can be at the level of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi. So similar is the case of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi. You can't get a person competent as equal as the person. So then, what is the solution? The solution is now, follow. If you are not at that level, then don't pretend. You're not a surgeon, you are a butcherman, for example. The butcherman can't be acting like a surgeon. I'm cutting also all the time. So I can do the same thing. You can't. You know what can happen? The legal implications, all of us know. Right? So exactly the same law would apply to deen. Right? Now, the statement that is made now, if there's a hadith that is contradicting the Quran Sharif, then that means the hadith is fabricated, even if it appears in Bukhari Sharif. Now, the contradiction may not be a real contradiction. It may be an apparent contradiction. It may not be a real contradiction. Like you find two ayats in the Quran Sharif about the day of Qiyamah, right? The one ayat says that the kafir on the day of Qiyamah will say, will not be able to speak. He will not be able to speak. That's one verse. La yatakallamun, ma yantikun, right? He can't speak. And the other verse says that they will speak on the day of Qiyamah. And they say, Wallahi Rabbina ma kunna mushriki. So one verse is saying they will speak, and one verse says that they won't be able to speak. Apparently, this seems to be an apparent contradiction. So if someone has studied the whole thing, this whole science, and he's seen the text properly, he'll understand it is just apparently contradicting, but in reality there's no contradiction. Because the verse that says that they will speak, it refers to a kafir, right? Now, how will it appear on the day of Qiyamah? So the kafir is seeing that the Muslim is going through a very brief process, he's giving his answers that I am a Muslim, and he's ushered into Jannah. So he shows his records that I am a Muslim, I lived in Islam and I died as a Muslim, so he is passed and he's gone, right? So the kafir realizes that if he says that he's not a Muslim, he rejected the truth, he's dispatched to Jannah. So he'll pretend to be a Muslim. No, I, Wallahi Rabbina, Wallah. No, I was a Muslim. I never went into shirk. I wasn't a polytheist. Expecting him to get a favorable answer. So Allah will tell him, alright, you are speaking like this. But you know, they are recording angels. مَا يَلْفِزُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. They are recording agents that report to the contrary, that you are mushrik all your life. So he'll object, and he'll say, but Allah, you know, I never see those recording angels. I couldn't see them. So how can they be used as witnesses against me? Then Allah will say, alright, we've got your book of deeds, right? And your book of deeds records all your wrongs. Right? So then you'll object again and you'll say, oh Allah Ta'ala, but haven't you guaranteed me that you will be fair with me and just with me? So I'm not prepared to accept the witnessing of the angels nor of the books. I'll only accept if there's a confession from within me. The confession must come from within me, then only will I relent, then will I accept. So at that time Allah Ta'ala will seal the mouths. Now his limbs will begin to speak. Hatta idha ma ja'uha shahida alayhim sam'uhum wa absaruhum wa juluduhum bima kanu ya'malun. Now his limbs will begin to speak. See now there's no contradiction. This was the first phase of the day of Qiyamah, he's speaking. Now when he asked for a witness from within himself, Allah Ta'ala sealed the mouth. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim, sealed it up. And his skin, his limbs are speaking out against him. See? So there's an occasion where he won't be able to speak. There's an occasion where he will be able to speak. But now, not understanding all those verses, but putting them together, then the person comes to the wrong conclusion that there's a contradiction. So you won't find a contradiction. Yes, it's a contradiction in your mind because of the lack of understanding or the lack of research. You don't understand it so well, or you didn't research it so well, and when you didn't research it, so you said, no, there is a contradiction. So there's no real, there's no contradiction, but because you didn't understand the context, therefore you say, no, there's a contradiction. So now, the point that I made here is that when we don't know, then we ask the person that knows. Then every person says, no, must get out of the box and think for yourself. Must get out of the box and think for yourself. Now a person is getting out of the box, he's seeing Christianity, Hinduism, Satanism, he's going out of the box and thinking, what's going to happen to him? He'll be ruined, he'll be a loss, obviously. He needs to understand, my understanding, my reasoning, my ability to analyze situations is not as great as those people that were masters, that were competent, experts. So when my reasoning ability is not at that level, then I must go with them, not apply my own reasoning. Otherwise, it will be the same case like a butcherman is trying to compare himself to a surgeon. What we understand what's going to be the end. It's going to be a disaster. Allah understood.